Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse. And it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The Storytelling Time program this week presents the story coming from chapter 9 entitled Coming Together in the book Heaven Can't Wait or Can It? The sequel. The title of the story today is Coming Together, Fred and Courtney. Before we start with our story, I'd like to share some ideas given from a minister about becoming an author. Take a listen to this. I will share ideas of a minister when I conducted an interview a while back on the subject of becoming an author. He shared his insight from a spiritual perspective. The minister's name is Dr. James Davis, former pastor of Grace AME Zion Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and current pastor of Martin Temple AME Zion Church in Chicago. Take a listen to this.
But I will say that, you know, my mother ministry, she is now the missionary supervisor of the Western Episcopal District, Reverend Felika Hart Thompson, said to me one time before when I was talking to her about writing a book, she said, "Son, you write 52 sermons a year." She said, "You've already written a book." And I never thought about it like that. Oh, man, I never in my mind imagined that. I say, she is so right. In a sermon, when you write a manuscript, it's probably 12 to 15 pages, depending on how you formulate it down. I normally do Times New Romans, double space, but I got like a 15, 16 inch font so I can see, right? But you asked what I said. I referenced that story to say this. Everything that we need is already inside of us. And I'm preaching to myself right now. There's a saying that says the richest place in America is a graveyard because so many people die and never have really given all the wealth that they have out of themselves. And so I say that to say the only advice that I can really give and I'm giving to myself is your story is valuable to share. And then you have to ask, well, what type of book you're trying to write? You know, if you're trying to write a self-help book, are you trying to write an autobiography of yourself? You know, you're trying to write a story of yourself. Are you trying to glean from an experience? One person told me this, just write and you can organize it later. And so that's one thing. The two things I will say is consider yourself and your story valuable enough to share. It is. I don't care how low you think it is or how you think it might not. You don't know. Your story will help somebody. It will help somebody. I haven't had a chance to write my book in its entirety, but I have done presentations on the book I want to write, and the presentations and the motivational speaking that I've done with it, the stories that I get back are really bone shaking for me. So consider your story valuable enough to share and just write. You can formulate where it goes later. Don't worry about the commas and the periods and all that stuff. That's why they got editors. They do all that. Listen, just tell the story.
Welcome back. The following is part one of our story today, Coming Together, Fred and Courtney. After returning home from Missy's birthday celebration, Fred completed the writing of his new book and gave it to Maggie. Fred knew he needed a revival of his love life with his wife and thought that bringing back to her remembrance the good times they had would help to rekindle some of those old desires. More than that, He accepted the fact that any attraction to Sandra had been canceled because of her renewed spirit. Courtney, Gates' wife, presented a unique challenge for Fred. Fred knew he had to see her once more to move forward with his love of Maggie. So he decided to go to the Regional Travel Bureau, where Courtney had become employed since coming to Chicago. He last talked with Courtney at Ed's coffee shop when their discussion was cut short as Maggie called him about her flat tire. He wanted to make right his intended indiscretion with Courtney. When Fred arrived at the travel bureau, it was late morning and he saw Courtney helping someone in the archives. He intentionally passed by them so that Courtney would notice him. He was successful in that maneuver. Courtney did notice him and said,
"Oh, hi, Fred. I'm surprised to see you here. In fact, I've never seen you here before. Why are you at the travel bureau? Are you going someplace? Oh, sorry for all the questions. How are you doing?"
"Now, don't worry about the questions, Courtney. But I'm doing fine. And the reason I'm here is because I want to read the newspaper and happen to see you helping someone. But go ahead and finish what you were doing. I can talk to you in a few minutes, if you have some time."
"Well, okay, Fred. But you know, you could have gone to the library near where you live for that, or the main library downtown for that matter, to just read a newspaper. Anyway, give me about 10 minutes, and I'll meet with you over there in the reference section. I'll be on my break then, and we can talk."
"Okay, Courtney. I'll go in there now and wait for you." Soon after Courtney had given assistance to a patron, she did go in on her break, and she did talk to Fred, as she said she would do. At that time, they would have their little talk.
"Well, here I am, Fred. Now can we talk? And sorry I've asked all those questions. It's always good to see you, and Maggie, too, when she's with you."
"Like I said, don't worry about the questions. Courtney, it's always good to talk to you, too. And this is the first time I've had a chance since I had to leave you there at Ed's coffee shop."
"Yeah, Fred. I remember the last time we talked. We were having an interesting conversation. Then you got a phone call. And after that, you just left me sitting there, not knowing what to do after that. Yeah, you were going to tell me something, but we were interrupted by that phone call. Yeah. You said Maggie had called you about something."
"Yeah, Courtney. She told me she had a flat tire in the middle of nowhere on a road outside of Detroit, not too far away from where her parents live in Flint. I told her I would come and take care of it, and that's what I did. But, Courtney, I learned something else since then, and that is I need to recommit to my marriage with Maggie. I mean, I don't want to bore you with the details, but I'm going to try to do something better in my life moving forward with my life with Maggie."
"That's good, Fred. But why are you telling me this? Aren't you moving forward with your life now? I don't understand. And that's a little of your personal business, wouldn't you say?"
"I know, Courtney. It's very personal. But it's because I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. I want to say now what I was going to tell you then, what I was going to tell you that night when the phone rang while we were at the coffee shop."
"Yeah, Fred. Go ahead and tell me. I'm anxious to hear about what you're going to say before you were interrupted by that phone call."
Fred paused as if he didn't really want to deliver information that he felt Courtney would not be comfortable in hearing. But he got up the courage to continue, and then he said, "Well, what I was going to tell you, Courtney, I was going to ask you to meet me at a local hotel the following weekend.
To meet me at a local hotel on the following weekend? Well, to meet you there, to do what exactly, Fred?
Too embarrassed to answer her question, Fred responded with much emotion. Oh, Courtney, I'm so embarrassed and ashamed, so ashamed. After that confession, Courtney concluded that Fred was thinking of having a romantic encounter with her. She reached out to Fred, took his hand, then said to him, with his head hanging down,
Fred, look at me.
Fred did as Courtney asked. He did look up as the tears began to flow.
Don't feel ashamed, Fred. We're friends, remember? And you taught me a lot about commitment and remaining true to your mate. Remember, I had sensual feelings about you when we first met. You know, back in Hawaii. You seemed so strong and handsome then. Now, don't get me wrong. You're still handsome now, Fred. But I was attracted to you then because I was in an abusive relationship. Like I told you about that time. I was overwhelmed with desire. A desire not only to be out of that relationship, but also to be with you. Yeah, Fred, I wanted to be with you in a romantic sense, just like what you're telling me now, I supposed. But at the time, you looked past all that, Fred, my desires and all, and you didn't try to hit on me. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I do now, Fred.
As Fred continued to absorb what Courtney was telling him, she continued to console him about his embarrassing admission to her.
Now listen to this, Fred. One thing that really helped me in my marriage situation was when you took me to Queen's Church. You remember that?
Of course, Courtney. You know I do. You know I remember that.
Okay, then. And you know what happened to me at that service? A wonderful change came over me that evening, Fred. As you well know, I was in a bad place at the time. I won't repeat all that because you know, we've talked about it. But by going to that church service, God changed my life that night and led me down a new pathway. A pathway that led to my freedom. And you know what, Fred? That's what I'm about now. And that is working for the Lord because he's done so much for me. Oh, just look at me. I'm getting emotional like you, Fred. Anyway, I want to tell you one more thing, Fred. God washed away all my sin and made me whole. He washed me white as snow, so to speak. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Well, you know about my history, Fred. I told you all about it at the time I met Gates. And as you know, the rest is history, as they say.
Courtney continued giving Fred a lot of gratitude with much emotion for helping her in her time of need. Courtney eventually gathered herself, then said,
Again, I'm sorry. I'm getting emotional, Fred.
No, you're fine, Courtney. Yeah. I remember that you were in a desperate situation, all right.
Yes, Fred. That was the difference between my circumstance then and your situation now. I was desperate being in an unloving relationship with Gates. But I thank God every day that he got me turned around and much of that changed because of you, Fred. Yeah. When you took me to that service at Queen's Church.
Yeah, Courtney, I definitely remember our visit to Queen's Church, and I saw the change in you then, and I sure am seeing that change in your spirit now, as we speak.
That's right, Fred, but listen, because this is important. Unlike my situation back then, now you are in a loving relationship with Maggie, and that's the difference. Maggie seems to be the perfect mate for you. She appears to be about as perfect as you could get. Oh, well, I guess no one's perfect.
Courtney, you're exactly right. No one's perfect. But Maggie is perfect. Perfect as a wife to me. I'm so glad she doesn't have feelings for another man like I have for you. I guess it's just a weakness of my flesh nature. Anyway, Courtney, I just know that I was attracted to you back then in Hawaii when I saw you in that luau line. And I guess I'm still attracted to you now. But I understand what you're saying. I shouldn't have that kind of attraction to you because I'm not desperate like you were. My goodness, Courtney, I'm married to the dream of my life. And I know Maggie is true to me. Well, anyway, I guess I need to go. Courtney, you don't know how much you've helped me today. It's strange because I thought I was supposed to give you some advice about you and Gates, and you ended up giving me useful advice about my relationship with Maggie. Well, at any rate, how are you two doing? When Fred asked this question, he was referring to a time recently when Courtney complained to him about Gates being away from home so much. Courtney responded to the question.
Oh, I'm fine now, Fred. Gates has been doing a lot better lately. We have an understanding that we didn't have then. He's treating me more like he did when we first met.
Well, that's great, Courtney. It was interesting how you two met. Well, I've taken practically all your break time. I'll be going now, and I'll see you two in church on Sunday. At least me and Maggie will, that is. Fred corrected himself to include his wife in their typical social gathering with Courtney and her husband Gates on Sundays, whenever they were all in town. Then Courtney responded to what Fred had said.
Okay, Fred. It was nice talking to you, and listen, don't worry about having those feelings about me. I actually take it as a compliment. But I know who you are, Fred. Just a wonderful person. You just need to get back to your wife.
Thanks, Courtney. That's just what I needed to hear. As Fred turned away to exit the bureau, Courtney asked him a final question.
Hey, Fred, you really didn't come in here just to read a newspaper, did you?
Courtney asked with a smile on her face, knowing that the real reason he came to where she worked was to see her. Fred smiled back and said, No, Courtney, I guess you've figured that out. I really didn't want to read the paper. I'll catch up on reading the newspaper later. Fred again was self-conscious and embarrassed to know that she realized his true intentions of coming to the travel bureau that day. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It was later that day when Fred returned home from the travel bureau. He met Maggie, who had just arrived from the daycare. Both of them had an interesting week. Fred and Maggie had gone to Mincy's house to celebrate her birthday the previous weekend, but the most significant occasion during that weekend for both of them was their visit to see Sandra at the hospital with Mincy by her side. About a month later, Fred finally completed the book that he had been writing for over a year. But now, Fred was more interested in giving Maggie a copy of his book than receiving any of the financial rewards of its wider distribution. He wanted her to read about the good old times they had back at MCCU, and just before as well, immediately after they were married. That would be the focus of the book. He did not include much about the time when they were apart, when he first went to Hawaii, and certainly not much about the time Maggie had become engaged to her first husband, John. Fred and Maggie were standing in the living room of their house, and he was about to give her a copy of the book he had been working on, a book that was now completed. He reminded her that much of it was about her, including their time at MCCU. She was as excited as he was at the prospect of reading it. Her mind was taken back as though it was only yesterday. Maggie remembered that she stood in the corner of the dancing hall with her two roommates when suddenly Fred appeared. As she stood there in front of Fred in their living room, her mind walked down memory lane. Before she traveled too far down that path to the past, Fred suddenly got down on one knee, like he did when he first proposed to her, back at that fancy restaurant in Chicago, the L'Amour. Suddenly, Maggie was brought back to the present, back from that wonderful time when they both were at MCCU. Fred said, "Mag, will you marry me again?" With everything that had been going on in her own life as it pertained to her former co-worker, Freddie, not to mention the death of her father, she was taken aback. But she knew who the love of her life was, remembering that night when she first met Fred at that social on the campus of MCCU. Then she answered Fred's question, "Of course, Fred. I would marry you all over again." Those words were so pleasing and reassuring to him. Fred got up and prepared to present Maggie with a copy of the book. Finally, Maggie received the book from Fred, whose eyes revealed the emotion of his heart. She could feel that same emotion within her being. They both had finally come together and were in one accord. Maggie held the book close to her chest. She closed her eyes and, as before, went back down memory lane, thinking about the sequence of events at that time. Even though Fred was there beside her, Maggie was alone with her thoughts of that night. And oh, what a night. The night she met the man of her dreams. Maggie's anticipation was now over. She was there with the man of her dreams. He reached out for her hand, and she readily accepted the invitation to dance with him. Before guiding her to the dance floor, he remembered saying, "My name is Fred. Fred Mintz. What's your name?" She perceived the way he asked the question as being so soft and tender. Without thinking, she answered, "Meg, Maggie Georgia," saying her seldom used middle name. "I mean Maggie," after further thought. Then Fred said, "Georgia's nice, and I think Meg is a beautiful name too." And that's what he ended up calling her, Meg. As the band continued playing, Fred guided Maggie to an open area by meandering through the crowd to get to that perfect spot. The band was playing softly the tune "Georgia on My Mind." What a coincidence, it appeared. Georgia was certainly on Fred's mind that night. Not the state, but the beautiful young lady that he had just met. Yes, Mag was on his mind. They embraced and started to dance and periodically chatted with one another until the song's completion. Then they returned to the spot where they first met. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep this in mind, that whatever it is that you may have that's coming against you, remember that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.